Well, good evening.
Or as we would say in Japanese, about this time would be konnichiwa. I am here by myself this time. My wife just left Pittsburgh this morning. She had to go back to take care of her mom. Her mom is 93 years old and still well. She comes to church with us in the morning. Our church service can be, well, it's a long day, actually, because the way we have our church services set up, we have Sunday school at 10, Sunday morning 11, probably like you all have here. But after the 11 o'clock service, then we have a light lunch together, and then a 2 o'clock service. And so we'll have 2 o'clock service, and it's set up much like the Wednesday service. So we'll have a song, a prayer meeting. We'll break up into groups and pray. We have, you know, take prayer requests and praises and thanks. And then we break up into groups and pray, have another couple of verses, and then I preach for 9 hours. No, I'm just kidding. I don't preach that long. If I did, they would all leave, probably. But we actually... Then after that, then the treasurers and everyone does the various services in the church. And then most people are going home about 5 or so. So generally, we get home around 6, something like that, sometimes 6:30. So it becomes a long day. But Mariko's mom is there all day long with us, 93 years old. It's really fantastic. She's not able to... be by herself or on her own. She needs help to get through the day and do take care of her medicine, things like that. So Mariko went back, in fact, asked you to pray for her because right now she's in the airplane. And it's a long trip. So I appreciate your prayers for her. We do have in the back our prayer cards. If you need one, you can pick up one at the display there. There's a lot of little items there to look at. If you have any questions, please feel free to ask, and we'll try to answer those. If I don't know the answer, I'll make up one. No, I'm just kidding. I won't do that. I'll tell you, I don't know. But here's our prayer card. It has our picture on the back, that young couple that came way, way back, I think probably 1988. And the picture grew as the kids came along and grew up. And then now it's shrunk back down to the young couple. It's amazing to me that the picture of the young couple hasn't changed a bit. No, that's not true. But anyway, that's the picture. And the other side is written out to the Japanese people. This is the same. This has been from the beginning of our deputation in 1984. We've had the same format, And so we're keeping that, a check to the Japanese people. And then there's some information on the back. It says to put this on your refrigerator or bathroom mirror. And now if you're... house is like ours, that's probably some of the two most frequented places. And so that'll remind you when you see that card, oh, pray for Bob and Mariko as they serve in Japan. We'll appreciate that very much because we are just like you, born-again Christians just serving in Japan, and you're serving here in Erie. And so your prayers are very helpful to strengthen our hands to help us to do the work in Japan, which we're going to show you. What you've been investing in for all of these years, many years, I believe since probably about 1988, this church has supported us. And so we really appreciate your praying for us, for supporting us all these years. And we want to show you what you've been investing in and what the Lord is doing in Inage. Inage is just outside of Tokyo. It's on the east side of Tokyo, and if you were to fly into Japan, you would fly in likely to Narita, and Narita is actually called the new Tokyo International Airport. However, it's not in Tokyo. It's actually in Chiba. So we are right in the middle between Narita and Tokyo. We're right about the middle. So it'll be very convenient for you to visit with us, and we'll show you the folks and let you meet them and speak with them. You say, well, I don't speak Japanese. Well, we have a number of people that speak English, so you won't feel lonely at all. I remember Pastor came, and he came and was able to spend some time with our people, and it was a great time. So we want to show you what the Lord has been doing. It's about 11 minutes long, and so we'll let you see how God is blessed in our church. Now, before we do that, I wanted to bring this and show you this little item here. It's very beautiful, isn't it? Actually, this was just made this year. A lady in Japan gave it to me, and so I thought, wow, that's really nice. She was a lady that does flower arranging and things like that, and so she's very artistic. And so she made this and gave to me, and I brought it home, and my wife looked at it, and she said, we can't use that. And so, wow, okay. Well, then, the question is, why can't we use this in Japan? That's a good thought. So, such a beautiful artwork and everything. Why can't we use this in Japan? Because if we use this, we're sending a signal. We're sending a meaning out to other Japanese people that would not be conducive to what we stand for in the Word of God. And so, what do they use this for? Is really the question. Now, just as a little bit of an incentive, did everyone have dinner already? You did? Okay. Well, then maybe you can use this later. This is chopsticks. Very nice. They actually work. You can just sit there and there you go. See, you eat. Very good. Okay, so for the first person to guess what they use this for, I'll give you your own personal set of chopsticks. Now, this is very ornate, ornamental style, like a celebratory type, like for a wedding or something like that, type of arrangement. This is the envelope and everything. So, if you're the first person to guess, I'll give this to you. Would that be a deal? Sound good? Okay, great. All right, why don't we, first of all, we're going to take you to Japan, let you see the work of Inage, and then after that, I'll ask you what you think this is, okay? All right. Didn't lose anybody? Okay. Well, let me ask you, what do you think they use this for? Any ideas? Yes. Ancestor worship, that's good thinking. Not quite, but that's really good thinking, yes. Idol worship. That's good thinking. It's along those lines, yes. Buddhism. Not quite Buddhism, but you're really thinking well. That's good. Anyone else? Yes. Yes. In a sense, yes. You're getting closer. It is Shintoism, but there's a particular reason they use this. Yes. Welcome to the church. Yeah, that would be a good idea, but that would not be the meaning they would take, unfortunately. Okay. Anyone else? Yes. Offering. Yeah, that's good thinking. No, not quite offering. Yeah, these are good ideas. Yes. Ward off evil spirits. You're thinking well. Good. Getting closer. Yes, in the back. Good luck. I think yes. Because what they do, they'll put this on New Year's Day on their door. And what this is representing is welcoming the New Year's God. So you all had little hints towards the idea of what this was, but they were welcoming the New Year's God so that they can then hope to have prosperity, good health, and, you know, all the things that people wish for a new year. So yes, that would be probably a good answer. Great, okay. Well, after the service, remind me to give this to you. Now, are you going to use this tonight or tomorrow? You don't have to, I'm just kidding. But it has a very beautiful cover on there too, you might enjoy. So yes, that's what it is. And Japan is just full of idolatry. As you saw on the film, the Shinto shrine that we showed to you is just above our house. It's actually, our house would be here, and there's a hill, and you walk up on that hill and a little further, and it's right there. So I could be there in about 5 minutes if I want to be. And so one New Year's Day, those pictures that we took there was on a New Year's Day, thousands of people come. And you saw what they were doing. Their worship, their idea of worship is just bowing and asking for things, kind of like a Santa Claus type mentality. And so they'll ask and want good health and all those good things, you know, that everyone really wants, but only comes from the Lord, really. And so they'll flock to that Shinto shrine and other Shinto shrines throughout the nation of Japan. So it's really ingrained in their thinking. The holidays are heavily integrated with the Shinto religion or Buddhism. Buddhism is actually not Japanese. It actually came from India originally, and probably through China, maybe Korean, into Japan. And so it's really a foreign religion, but it's been integrated into the society so much. And it makes it very difficult for them to understand the gospel, to understand the Word of God. The Word of God is outside. It's a foreign thing. And one of the best ways I can help you to understand what the gospel appears to Japanese to be like is, if we were, just for illustration's sake, say Buddhism was the truth, and someone came from Japan to Erie, Pennsylvania, to reach you with Buddhism. Well, you say, oh, no, no way, I'm not going to be following that, right? Automatically, we would think that. That's pretty much what Japanese think when we come with the gospel. We're Japanese, Buddhist, Shinto, that's the normal thing. And this foreign, you know, American religion, you know, that's different. That's not what we are. And so it's just really a time-consuming thing to reach people for Christ. However, people do get saved, and that's exciting. And everyone that does get saved is eternal. And you've seen some of the folks that have got saved, and you've had a part in that. Folks have been saved. People have been growing in the Lord, and although you don't get to see that week to week like we do, one day you'll be able to meet them and speak with them and understand. Mariko's mom had a really good idea one time when we talked about that in the past. What we're going to speak in heaven? Now, many people might think Hebrew or something like that, you know. And she had an idea. The Bible doesn't say, so we don't really know, but she had an idea. She wondered if maybe everyone will just speak their own language and will just understand. Wouldn't that be interesting, huh? We'll have to wait till we get to heaven to find out, but that's that was an interesting concept. I'm sure you have questions about the video and everything, and maybe about the display. I won't take time right now in the service, otherwise we will never get to the Word, maybe 5 minutes left. So if you have any questions, please feel free to see me at the table, and I'll try to answer those the best that I can. And so we'll try to satisfy that desire and for curiosity that you might have for what you saw in the video. But we really thank you
for supporting us and praying for us. God is working. Now, we're not without fighting battles, for sure. There's spiritual battles there. It's just a part of the routine. The devil is not going to just leave Japan because the Barley showed up with the gospel. Not at all. He's going to resist with all of his strength. And that's why prayer is so important, because we're no match for him, but he's no match for Christ.
Amen.
So that's our strength, is the Lord and his word. And God does bless. So we just have to remain faithful, declaring his word and pointing people to Christ, teaching God's people the word of God, and God gives the increase. God builds the work, and that's exciting. Just like he's doing here in Erie. People's hearts are not totally open to the gospel, are they? You witness to friends and family and neighbors, you know, they kind of, yeah, okay, yeah, you have your way, I have mine. You know, they're pretty closed. That's normal. But God's word, it's miraculous, works in hearts and draws people to Christ. And he drew us to Christ, thankfully. It took some time for some of us, but God blessed, and we are saved. We're sitting here learning the word of God. In fact, I'd like to turn to John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6, a very famous passage of Scripture. I'm sure when we start reading it, you'll be very familiar with these words that Jesus gave. Now, he was in the upper room. This is right before the cross. And so he's in the upper room. Probably Judas Iscariot has already departed and gone to the chief priest to sell Jesus out to them so they could crucify him. And they had no idea that Jesus was just a matter of hours from the cross. They had no idea what they were about to experience. But Jesus did. And that even makes this more of an impact when we read the verse 1 through 6. Let me read John chapter 14, 1 through 6, and you can follow along as I read. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this church, for Pastor Alquist and his wife and this church family, faithfully declaring the word of God and salvation to this area. Thank you for how you've blessed the word and seen folks saved and the church grow and ministry develop more and more to reach the area even more with the gospel. Thank you for that. And continue to bless. Bless in a great way with more saved. Bless God's people in your word every day, for they need your strength and wisdom. They need your help every day. Bless in their Christian lives, supplying the needs and blessing their work, guiding as they work along with you to share the gospel and to spread the word of God to the hearts of this area and beyond, even all the way to Japan. Now we pray that you will bless our hearts by your word, for we need your strength, we need your wisdom, and we need our hearts needs to be met by your word. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." This is hours before the cross. Thursday night, he's meeting with the disciples. They have the Passover meal, which is remembrance of their Israel's being delivered from Egypt. He institutes the Lord's Supper after that. Judas Iscariot's already gone to betray Jesus. And so he begins to talk with the remaining 11 disciples, knowing what he is about to go through. From here, he would leave Jerusalem, go down the valley on the east side, the Kidron Valley, and climb a little bit up into the Mount of Olives to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he would begin to pray, having the full impact, knowing what he is about to suffer on behalf of all of us. And just prior to all that, he looks at his disciples and he says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Can you imagine? If we knew, like Christ, what he was going to be going through, if we knew that we were going to be suffering intensely like he suffered, which we could never do, because he suffered, if you think about what Christ suffered on the cross, not only the physical pain of nails being driven through his arms and feet, nailed to a wooden cross, and as they put that cross up and just didn't gently let it down, just let it drop, and all the weight of his body pulling on those nails, the intense pain that he suffered, the crown of thorns, the whipping that many would die from, just from the whipping alone. For the Roman soldiers did not have limits like the Israelites had. The Israelites would go 39 and stop. The Romans stopped when they felt like it. And all of that suffering that he suffered up all night long, from Thursday till the time that he was put on the cross at 9 in the morning Friday, that's just the physical suffering. Then he took upon himself every person's sin penalty all at one time. Can you imagine? We can't really. Our own sin penalty. If we were to suffer our own sin penalty, it's unthinkable. We couldn't even finish it. We would spend eternity in a lava-like fire suffering to pay our sin penalty and never, ever be able to finish it. Never be able to fulfill that penalty. Amen. Jesus, who is God, come to this earth because he loved us so much. He didn't want us to die and go to hell. And so he came to this earth to take that sin penalty, which was just and righteous and must be carried out, because he's a just and righteous God, took it upon himself. He said, "Instead of you, I'll do it." He's the judge. He's the one that demands the penalty for sin. And he must, or he wouldn't be just and holy. And then, taking that penalty on himself in our place. Not just mine, not just yours singly. Everyone, from the time of Adam to the end of this world, all at one time. It's a suffering that we cannot even humanly imagine. And then, at the end of that period, at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Jesus did something that no other person on the cross, dying, being crucified on a cross,
could imagine doing, could possibly do. In fact, it was so stunning that the Roman centurion that stood right next to his cross looked and declared, truly, this was the Son of God.
Amen.
What was that? He said, with power, it is finished. Most people that are being crucified by the Roman cross would not have the energy to declare with power such a thing. But Jesus did. And what he was saying was the penalty for sin has been completely paid. Anyone that would be willing to repent and believe on Christ, receive him into his heart as their personal Savior and Lord, receiving his forgiveness and eternal life, he will save, for he has paid the penalty already. That's exciting. Both those that are here in the United States and those in Japan and all over the world, anyone that is willing to repent from sin, make that decision, I don't want sin anymore. I want Christ. And believe on him that he died for me. He took my sin penalty upon himself. He was buried after paying it completely. And on the third day, came back from paradise to his dead body and took his life back again, physical life. He told the disciples, I have power to lay my life down and I have power to take it again. And that's exactly what he did.
Yep.
Excuse me. That's exactly what he did. And he's alive and can save you. If you believe that from your heart right now, pray to him. Tell him, Lord, I repent. I don't want sin anymore. I want you. Forgive me. Forgive all my sin. I believe on you alone for my salvation. Come into my heart. Save me. Give me eternal life. Make me your child. And he will gladly do that. The angels in heaven will rejoice that another person has been redeemed. Every Sunday morning, after the Sunday morning message, during the invitation, I go through this very same message in detail. The reason I do that is because most Japanese do not have a background of Bible at all. Similarly, probably you have no idea about Buddhist teaching, right? Of course. We don't even really know much about it other than this kind of a chubby guy with his arms crossed, and that's about the limit of our understanding. Their understanding of the Bible many times is about the same amount. Oh, Jesus is the Christian's God, that's American religion, that kind of thing. And so I go through over and over and over again the same thing so that they can understand eventually how to be saved. Not trust their works. Oh, I'm a good person. And if they've been to church, and there are a number of churches, not all preach the gospel. Oh, I've been baptized, or I'm keeping the Ten Commandments, or I'm a church member, or I'm doing many good works, and I'm nice to my neighbors, and all that kind of thing. Well, It's good to be nice to your neighbors and all those kind of things, but that's not enough to get you to heaven. And so I go through that over and over and over again. And not only does it help those that are unsaved to get that understanding ingrained in their hearts so that the Holy Spirit can work in their hearts the Word of God to draw them to Christ for salvation, it helps believers. Because then believers then understand what you need to explain to unsaved people. Now, Jesus said in verse number 1, let not your heart be troubled. He knew in just a matter of hours, I'm going to be suffering, unimaginably suffering on the cross. And he's telling the disciples, let not your heart be troubled. Why? There's got to be a reason. There has to be a basis. Otherwise, you know, if we just say, oh, it'll be okay without any reason, it's baseless. It's empty words. Well, not in Jesus' case because he's God. But if we were to say that, there's got to be some good foundation for being able to say that, for really to have comfort in those things. And he says, first of all, right here in verse 1, ye believe in God, believe also in me. Israelites believed in God. They believe in the one true God, the creator of heaven and earth. They believed in him. All Israelites, I would presume all or the majority, would believe that, even to today. Most would. And Jesus is saying, ye believe in God, believe also in me. What he is telling them is, I am God. Amen. They have people throughout the world that believe in God, maybe even the true, one true God, and yet not believe in the triune God. There is only one God, but there are three persons to that one God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we are made in His image. Oh, do we all look like God? No, obviously not, because we all look different. Each person is unique, even in the family. There are unique features for each individual. So it's not our physical looks. Well, what is he talking about? We're a three-part being. We have a body, we can see that. We have a soul that in mental, thinking, emotional part of us, we know that. And there's one other thing, one other part of our being that we can tell very readily. The spirit. You say, how can we tell that so easily, that we have a spirit? Well, go anywhere you want to in the world. Come to Japan. People worship. The desire for man to worship is evidence that they are a spirit. They have a spirit. We are a three-part being. Animals don't worship. You never see animals bowing their head and worshiping and gathering together to worship God or anything like that. They don't do that. They have no spirit. But man does. We're a three-part being. Jesus said, ye believe in God, believe also in me. You can trust me. I will never steer you wrong. Now he's talking to believers here. These disciples believed on him. Yes, we have to believe on him for salvation. There is no other way. Jesus said so right in the very verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You want to go to heaven? Everyone does. Nobody wants to go to a place of suffering. Everyone wants to go to heaven, whatever their image is of that. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So believe. You believe in God, believe also in me. I am God, Jesus says. You can trust me. I'll take care of you if you'll just believe on me and trust me. Now, after we get saved, we trusted him with our eternity. Do we trust him with our decades that he gives us here? Many times it's so much easier for us to want to hang on to that part of the control, isn't it? It's so much more comforting to us when we have some control there. But then when we really think about, things can get out of our control so fast. And we get into situations, maybe not anything that we can control, happen, and we have to deal with things that we don't know what to do with. We don't have the wisdom, we don't have the strength, we don't know what to do with it. Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. We must give ourselves as a living sacrifice to him. Let him control. You say, oh, wow, wait a minute. This is getting a little bit too close to home. Well, you think about it. Most of us probably have flown in airplanes. Right now, Mariko is, let's see, maybe up around Alaska, 30-some thousand feet. She's on her way to Japan. Now, none of us would get on an aircraft and that thing take off, and then all of a sudden we think, hey, this thing could go down. So I want to control this. And we run up to the cockpit and tell the pilot, get out of that seat. I want to take this thing over. I want to control it. I want to make sure I get on the ground safely. Would we do that? Of course not. First of all, you would never get close to the cockpit. Nowadays, with all the difficulties and trouble that's going on, it's very secure, thankfully. But we would never want to take control of that plane that we're on, because we probably wouldn't get on the ground safely. That pilot has been trained. He has been trained and tested and guided by and approved by men and ladies that have hours and hours and hours of experience with aircraft in all kinds of situations and all kinds of weather. And he will get you on the ground safely to your destination. Well, we give our safety to that person's hands every time we get on an airplane. And we might be nervous and all that kind of stuff, but we're entrusting him with our life, aren't we? If we would do that to a trained, skilled, caring pilot, why wouldn't we do that with the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God? Just give him our life. Let him lead, we follow. And he will develop us and bless and strengthen us and develop those talents so that we can excel for him and be the most effective that we can be for him while we're on this earth. Amen. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, he gives another reason. In my Father's house or many mansions? If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Hey, that's nice. If you ever go to a tour company or they set you up on a tour, whether it be a cruise or a flight somewhere, and they get all the hotels ready for you and all the meals are prepared, that's really nice. Wow, we relax and we enjoy. Jesus said, I'm preparing a mansion for you. Now, if you use that word mansion in Japan, the image is quite different than here in the States. The mansion in Japan, if you say, yeah, I live in a mansion, their image is going to be this high-rise, how many story high building, and you have one condominium in it. That's a mansion. So if a Japanese person comes and you say, well, what is your house like? Oh, I live in a mansion. Oh, whoa, this must be a wealthy person. Well, to a certain degree, they're not cheap, but it's not the mansion like we would think. It's a big house with a long drive and all the trees along the driveway and, you know, and the servant waiting to open our door when we get there and all that stuff. It's not like that. But think about in heaven. Compare the mansions that we can imagine here on this earth that man could build with what the Lord would build and is building in heaven. No comparison. Can't even come close what we can build here. I'm preparing a mansion for you. First of all, he said, you believe in God, believe in me. And I'm preparing a mansion for you. So in the future, you're going to have a beautiful place to live. Now, how long will we be in that mansion? 5 years? 10 years? No, of course, we all know eternity. For all eternity, it never ends. It's kind of like that vacation that we take and we say, oh, I just wish I could be here forever. I'm enjoying this so much. Well, when we save, go to heaven, that's what we do. We're there forever in the most beautiful place. So beautiful, we can't even imagine it. If we saw it now and tried to describe it to others, we wouldn't even have the words to explain so that they could understand what we saw. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. How does he know? He's from there. He's seen it. He's preparing the thing. I go and prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So there's the third thing. I'm going to come back and get you. And I'm going to take you to be with me. And wherever I am, you'll be. And how long is he going to be there? Forever. Wherever he is, that's where we'll be. Let not your heart be troubled. With this kind of guarantee, how can we lose? Why would we be so upset with the varying circumstances that we find in our life? I understand the stresses that come along and the battles and all those things, that situations that we have to face are very trying on our hearts and lives. I understand that. We all go through that. But we have to understand that is not all that there is. It's kind of like those situations are like the weather. A few weeks back, we just came back from Japan on May 23rd. I'm only going to be in the States for 2 months. We come back, we do a real quick furlough, and we get back because of Mariko's mom's care and needs of the church and things like that. So we're just in, zip, and back. And so we just came in, and we went, saw some of our kids there for 5 days or some, and then we flew up to Philadelphia, and the airplane was so cold. It was really cold. I normally don't get cold on the airplane. My wife gets cold. But I normally don't. But I got cold. So when we got out of the airplane, we got into the Philadelphia airport. It's a pretty good size airport. And my wife says, oh, I wish I could eat some ramen. It's those thin noodles in like a hot soup so she can warm up. And I said, well, it's going to be a hard thing to find here in Philadelphia, I thought. Wouldn't you know, we went to the food court and they had this Asian food thing and they had ramen there. Unbelievable. So she ordered that and I went over to Chick-fil-A. And we ate Chick-fil-A and ramen. That goes together. She ate that and I ate. And it was good. So on the way back from Philadelphia to come to Pittsburgh, which is the airline, airport that we flew into, on the way back, as the closer we got to Pittsburgh, the airplane started rocking, you know, bumping along, and I experienced something I never experienced before. Normally, when you have turbulence, it's up and down. But this time, it wasn't just up and down. The plane was like fishtailing like this. I thought, wow, man. But we landed. He was a good pilot. We landed and we were fine, came up to the gate. That night was when all those terrible thunderstorms started. Did you have those up here? Yeah, it was quite exciting, wasn't it? And it just happened. I mean, how long did that continue on? Several days, it seemed like. It just continued and continued. Well, today it's nice weather. Okay, maybe a little cool, huh? But it's nice. The weather changes constantly, doesn't it? Well, situations in our life is like the weather. It just changes constantly. One time we're having everything goes just as nice as can be. It's going to be the best weather you can imagine. Say, oh man, this is great. I wish it'd just keep on going. And next thing you know, storm comes up. Some kind of financial thing, health thing, some problem comes up, whatever. And it's a dire thing. And it's overwhelming. But Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. We have a foundation. It's Him. And He gives us reasons. Believe in me. You believe in God? Believe in me. I'm preparing a place for you. I'm going to come and get you to be with me forever. So not only does He take care of us during this life, He's taking care of us for all eternity. So yes, we go through the difficulties and it's not fun and we have that pressure and stress and all that stuff, but we have that foundation that we know that we're going to pull through this thing. God hasn't been caught by surprise in these circumstances and He's going to turn it around for us and it's going to be beautiful weather again. Then He says, and whither I go, ye know. And the way ye know. Here's Thomas. Thomas is just like us. Typical human thinking. Lord, we don't know where you're going. Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? We don't know where you're going. And he's thinking such practical thoughts, but it's only kind of on this earth type thing. Are you going back up to Galilee or where are you going? If you tell us where you're going, then we'll know, you know, the way to go there. But he wasn't thinking the spiritual and eternal thing that the Lord was focusing on. So he said, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. There's only one way to be saved. That's Jesus Christ. Receiving the gift of eternal life from him. For the wages of sin is death. We know that. You can go to Japan, throughout America, wherever you go, you see cemeteries. Wages of sin is death. When I first came to this church on deputation, our second deputation, we came to this church, my wife and I, my hair wasn't this color. But it is now. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift. We just receive it. You don't pay for it. You don't earn it. You don't work for it. You just receive it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Well, are you saved? Have you asked Jesus to come into your heart, forgive your sin, and save you? Have you repented from sin and believed only on him? That's priority number one. If you haven't received Christ as your Savior, you need to do that right now. You say, how do I do that? Just make that decision to turn from sin and want Christ, believing that he is God, that he died on the cross and paid your sin penalty, that he was buried, he rose again physically, and he's alive and can save you right now. He's God. And if you believe that and are willing to turn from sin to Christ, just pray to him from your heart. Lord, forgive my sin. I repent. I believe only on you. Forgive my sin. Come into my heart. Be my Savior and Lord. Save me. Give me eternal life. If you will call out from your heart, meaning it from your heart, to the Lord, he will save you. He'll make you his child. He will prepare a home for you in heaven. Those of us who have already accepted Christ as their Savior, are we giving the control of our life to him? Or are we wanting to control? No more would we want to control an aircraft that we've never been trained to fly. Should we want to control the direction of our life without God? Now, that doesn't mean, okay, I'm not going to make any decisions. I'm just going to let God. No. We make our decisions based on his word. But he is the shepherd. We are the sheep. He is leading according to his word, and we follow his word and do accordingly, trusting him for the results. And believe me, the results are fantastic. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for this church. Thank you for Pastor and Mrs. Alquist. Bless and take care of them as they're visiting in Ireland and serving the Lord, ministering there. Help them to be refreshed and blessed as they come back. Continue to serve the Lord here at this church with this church family. Bless this church. I pray that you will bless with 50 people being saved in this church. 50 more. That is not enough. But it is a good first step. I pray that this church family will make a list, each person, each believer, make a list of people they know that are not saved, family, friends, neighbors, co-workers. Begin to pray for them to be saved. Bless and protect this church. I pray that you will bless with 50 people being saved and more. Strengthen God's people to trust you with their lives, to allow you to control, and they follow. You lead, and they follow that leadership according to your word and see the Lord strengthen them and bless in a great way. Continue to bless the work in Japan. I pray that you will be with Mariko even now as she's flying back to Japan, and we'll be working at the church this coming Sunday. Be with the special speakers, the pastors and lay preacher that will be coming in these next weeks. Give a revival, give great victory, spiritual strengthening, and likewise here too. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.